Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Among the Realms. This is Diane, and once again, we're coming to you from the Trinity Metaphysical Center in Hamburg, New Jersey. We're located at the Hardeston Plaza North on Route 23. And the phone number here, for anyone who wants to get in touch with us, is 973-209-7070. And with me tonight is Jackie, the proprietress of this establishment, and Charlie.
Hey.
And Mercedes.
Hi. You have a couple of names in there.
And with us again is Mark. He's back home from his round the world tour on his ship there. So
when all the history wants and I found out,
Nah.
The TV was horrible.
So welcome back, Mark. Good to see you again.
It's great to see all of you, too.
It feels like you never left.
It does, because the chair feels the same. It does go quick,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it didn't way too quick. Mm-hmm. I still have work I have to do, so I got to cut this quick and catch the ship out in the Atlantic.
So we've been talking about the past couple weeks about negative energy and how to survive it, and tonight we're going to talk about spiritual protection and cleansing your aura. Mm-hmm. What to do when you get attacked by all that negative energy, because it's not good for you. So, Jackie, if you would like to... Stop making faces at me, it's not nice.
Oh, we're being so...
How do we get spiritual protection?
Well, the first thing about spiritual protection is everybody should know how to do it regardless of their religious beliefs or their lack of religious beliefs. It's basically to protect yourself or your energy field, which is also known as your aura, from negative energies affecting you, because they can not only affect you emotionally, but physically as well. So we've obviously had a lot of experience with this, even just, you know, with our paranormal group, Ecrypt, and, you know, dealing with negative energies and that type. But there are some people that just have negative energies in their home, you know, people that they're around all the time, their workplaces, that type of thing, and how they can protect themselves from them being affected by those people. We did discuss that, you know, like if it was maybe a month or two back. But
how do you even realize you're being attacked by all this negative energy?
Well, you'll definitely feel when somebody's just miserable all the time or off or in a debt. Because what happens is you become that. You know when you say you become what you hang around? The minute you get into work, if you work with somebody who's a very down person, or they're angry all the time, or they're just miserable, and they're not in a good place, the minute you get around them, you feel it. And then it puts you in a bad mood. A lot of times people feel, sometimes they don't feel good when they're at work because of that, you know. And when you're aware of it, when you're aware of how it's affecting you, that's when you can kind of try to do something about getting yourself out of it and protecting yourself a little more so you're not affected by it. And for some people, they like to keep themselves protected all the time so that that type of thing doesn't affect them at all. And sometimes it's not just people. Sometimes for some people who do like the work we do, or, you know, like the ghost hunting, or they do readings, or, you know, they're energy healers or anything like that, sometimes they're actually affected by actual spirits, you know, negative spirits or dark energies. And for those people who have had experience with that, they definitely know what that feels like, because you can, you know, you feel it. It's like the psychic attack, which we did talk about, the psychic vampire, in a previous episode. But when you're being attacked or affected that way, it's, you know, it's very stressful on you. And for some people, like in the movies, they're actually taken over by those energies, and like they become ill from them, and, you know, they feel like they're, you know, they're too much in them. So, I mean, obviously this topic covers a lot of different areas, but being able to protect yourself from it is a big step in it, you know. And a few of the things we discussed before was, you know, making sure that you know, you're emitting the positive energy and you're not one of the ones emitting the, you know, the negative energy. But also things like, you know, for some people they like to say a prayer. You know, they like to surround themselves in the white light, or put an invisible bubble around you. I always tell people that. Put an invisible bubble around you when you wake up in the morning and just say only the positive is going to come in and the negative is going to bounce off. Saging is really good. We've talked about that. To just keep yourself not let negative, you know, stuff affect you. And we did cover a bunch of other things where people like to go a little bit farther with carrying certain gemstones or crystals. That's why you see people wearing crystals and things around a lot, or carrying their stones in their pockets. You know, everybody has their own little thing. But the biggest part is making sure your energy field or your aura is protected and guarded from that type of thing. And some people, they like to do energy work. You know, that's what they do to keep their aura balanced. You know, you can, if you're feeling like you're off, I do a lot of cleansing. So there's a lot of people that come in because they just feel like they're around a lot of negativity. They want to, I'll say, clean out, and they do. They come in for energy work, and they wanna balance their, or you know, their energy field, and you know, balance their energy points. And they ask for a cleansing, and they literally feel like there's something with them. You know, people who are in active homes or are around people who are negative, their husbands, their kids, their friends, those energies stick on those people. You know, and then they come into those other places, they're drawn to them. They're attached to people who are negative or down. You know, we've talked about that a few times.
And then they multiply.
And then they collect. And then, yeah, I mean, it's
well, negative attracts negative, so, you know, start loading yourself up with that stuff, and pretty soon you have a real big problem. And you might not even realize it. You might just be thoroughly depressed or, you know, just not happy or cry for no reason.
People who are depressed definitely usually have a lot of that energy around them, you know. So, and people who, you know, we were just talking about this before we started. People who have weaker energy fields or weaker auras will definitely attract more of a negative type of energy, even if they're not meaning to. You know, we were just talking about some of the things people do, like smoking or drinking a lot or drugs. That already weakens your aura, you know, makes holes in your aura. But people who are depressed, have anxiety, illnesses that they're fighting, your immune system is weakened, your energy field is weakened, you're definitely much more vulnerable to that type of thing. So you definitely want to, number one, if you're in that kind of state, you want to try to avoid being in a negative situation or even being around those energies. You know, and number two, you got to do a little bit more, you know, with protecting yourself with that. So
you said different things can weaken your energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be safe to say that stronger the drug, the worse it ruins your energy, the lesser the drug? So like out in Denver right now, there's some pretty good stuff going on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you know. So if it's lesser, it's...
Yeah, but the negative energy can't find them through the smoke.
Oh, yeah, it can.
I do think, though, for legitimate prescription drugs, sometimes the side effects can weaken you.
Yeah.
As much as the drugs help.
Any drug can weaken you. Mm-hmm. It's changing something chemically in you.
Right.
It's altering something.
And I don't...
Which means you have to be a little more extra, you know, careful with just protecting yourself more. For somebody who has to be on a prescription, you know, they're aware of that. You know, for somebody who's, you know, fighting an illness or a disease, that their whole body is compromised in that situation, and it's a lot for your, you know. So for those situations, I'm saying if you're somebody who's like one of us, where you're a ghost hunter, you're not going to want to go into a house where there's negative entities or known, you know, negative spirits and put yourself in that position. But for people who are ill or have like a lot of different illnesses, if you notice, a lot of times those people are in negativity. They either live in it or they work in it, it seems like they have all of these, this one thing after another that they have wrong with them, like illness-wise.
A coworker of mine is like that, because she works in a more negative environment, and you know she's got one illness after another, or something going wrong, or something,
mm-hmm.
and even though I've tried to point it out, she's never put two and two together.
So essentially, you're drinking metaphysical orange juice.
Yeah.
The ward off of that stuff, that's what you're saying.
Spiritual, you know, the people who are more spiritually connected or understand there are other realms and things and other things that we can't see that help, they tend to have an easier time staying in that protective place and that type of thing. You know, when you think yourself weak, you're going to be weak. So if you're somebody who's saying, oh, I've got this, oh, I've got that, you know, when you're somebody that says, no, that's not going to affect me, this isn't going to affect me, letting it affect you, we allow it.
Okay, here's a question. Charlie and Diane, two normal people. Or not.
Maybe.
All right, so Charlie is psychic and he's connected to everything. Diane, which is for instructional purposes only, is not psychic. They're not connected to any of this stuff. I am something bad, evil, and naughty. Which would I be drawn to if they're both in the same core mindset? The fact, so the fact
yeah,
that Charlie
let's
is...
Let's hope Diane, okay?
Because you will have a harder... It will take more effort, more energy to affect Charlie.
Okay. Because he's already aware of the surroundings like this. But Diane just being a regular normal person, saying, well, you know, this stuff is new to me, I don't really know about it. It's gonna go for you.
Yeah,
first.
She'll just either not feel good or she'll just feel like she's having a bad day. But like if you're somebody who works with spirits or like we do when we go into houses where there's some type of energy, if we notice and we get the proof on our EVPs that there are spirits they don't like. When it's a negative spirit, they do not like those of us who are white light.
Mm.
Because they feel, you know, I don't want to say threatened, but I guess there's a different energy between them.
They're not going to find a home with you.
That's a good way of putting it, you know. It's interesting when we hear, because they're not nice when we listen to them back on those voice recorders.
No,
they're definitely not nice. And there are a lot of people that live with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there are so many people that come in this store every week that live in houses that have spirits that they feel are negative. And they feel like they're affecting their homes, affecting their people, you know, people in their homes and, you know, children because they're younger and they're affected easily.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting when we're saying spiritual protection, but it's in both spirits and actual.
It's rough humans. When they're in your home too, because I've lived with it and it's rough. I like just want to hide sometimes, but you learn how to protect yourself. Also, touching back to before, I'd just like to say, ever since I started coming to the store and really learning about this type of thing, I have not caught a cold once. Not once have I gotten sick. Except for the week I was away from the shop, I went to Delaware to visit my parents, and I caught a horrible sinus infection.
Oh,
then I came back, and I was fine.
That's what happens to get away from that medicated Jersey air.
But you know what's interesting, what you're saying about your apartment? Your person and the way you are spiritually connected is completely different from your roommate. And your roommate tends to stay in the rumpy down, right? Just like we were talking, and you know, the spirits in there that are affecting that as well.
And you can feel the energy change where I live if you walk from my room, if you take one step out of the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel it
because
I keep a completely positive space because that's how I like to live. And my room is bright and happy, all the colors, everything, and you can feel it. You can feel that energy, and then of course, I like bright colors everywhere. I have bright colors in my living room, but it's a shared space, so you can tell the difference.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing you brought up. Like, protecting your energy is good. Like, making sure you have your space if you're at work, and you make your space, make it better. So a lot of times, I'll suggest people to either bring in a plant, bring in something, like something alive, something with water. The fountains are great because water is cleansing. And listening to it is very relaxing. So you're changing your atmosphere. Automatically have a more relaxed energy. You know, so your energy field's going to be in a little bit better place. You know, that way too. So you know, putting for some people they like to put their stones, their crystals. you're making your own personal space. So even if there's people around you and they come in and they don't have that good energy, the minute you can focus on something in your personal space that makes you feel good,
mm-hmm.
or that emits a positive, good vibe or energy, it changes. It changes how you react to it, how you allow it to affect you. It's interesting, but I tell people they definitely try it. You know, they should.
I got a question for you. It just popped in my head, and I like classical music.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and there's really up classical music, there's really down classical
mm-hmm.
music, and then there's this, you know, the middle of the road classical music that doesn't sway you either way. It's sort of just there. I like it all, but some of the darker classical pieces, would that bring in bad energies?
It will just put you, yeah, it can, because it puts you in a different place in your head, you know. And I know that they've actually done studies on that with teenagers that have listened to the types of music they listen to, you know, and where they kind of stayed in their mindset, as opposed to the ones who listen to maybe something like pop or, you know, some other type. Because your thoughts or your mind reacts to things differently. And even though we're talking about an actual energy, whether it be somebody who's negative or a spirit, where we are in our head and thoughts and our personal space, where our energy field is how it's going to affect us. We all have an energy field. And we obviously did an aura class last night, so we obviously know that our aura colors change depending on whether we're you know, we're in a good mood, we're in a bad mood, when we're distressed, you know, when we're happy, and when we're in those places, that's how we get affected differently. That's why some people will walk around and be like, what else today? Then their day just keeps going down, because they end up in such a bad place. They started the day off on the wrong foot, and they ended up in a bad mood, and it just collected.
That was there.
Yeah. It's exactly how it works, though.
Actually, I like Houston.
Yeah. Houston's nice, but it's horrible.
Well, yeah, I didn't go to the fort, but okay.
I'm just making notes for the metaphysical OJ here.
Well, meditation is great for balancing regrouping.
And it is possible to listen to the music without being personally involved in it.
Yeah.
Because just like art is supposed to evoke an emotion. Of what the
I have a hard time with the dark ones too, though. I love classical music, but mm-hmm. the ones that are more, you know, I do the same thing. I think it just depends how you, I guess, how the sound therapy works on you.
Well, you can either take it personally and bring it into yourself, or you can just listen to it and understand what the composer was trying to say.
Well, that's when you think it too much.
Well, I always think about music.
Yeah, I pretty much just sit there and just soak it in,
mm-hmm.
and all my feelings come out in whatever music I'm listening to, and it's always been that way, you know, right from the fourth grade on. So, I mean, you know, that's
well, the second movement of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, when it's done by the Berliner Philharmonic, it just always makes me cry. I can hear it done by anybody else, but just the way they do it, it's just so sad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of cathartic, you know? You just kind of, like, cry for no reason. Huh?
I
don't
listen to something on my own.
Cleansing.
I'm on, like, my fourth disc of the ninth. That's my favorite right there.
The ninth is good. It's the one thing
really?
I've always wanted to sing, but I've never been able to sing.
Oh, well.
But it's just Herbert von Karajan. He's dead now, but... Oh, man, see what you started now. Now
see?
I'm just thinking about this.
Do we have a CD we could put on for the next half hour?
I got a couple in the truck.
Here
we go.
It's just so marvelous. But it's just the music. It's just so emotional. But I've heard it done by different people, and I could just totally ignore it. It's just this one orchestra and the
sound
way they
therapy.
Do it.
That's why we always use the healing music.
You mentioned meditation.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of times we use music or we use sounds for meditation. Can you do it without any sounds?
Meditation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What should you expect?
I think everybody's different. I don't like meditation without sound, but guided meditations, a lot of times they do have the ones that don't have the music. You know, because there are people who do a guided meditation, they don't necessarily play music behind it when they're doing it, and they have the people, you know, doing it that way. I work with music. It's just what I resonate with. But there are plenty of things out there for everybody.
I do better with absolute silence.
Well, sometimes for you, you might be able to meditate. You could just go over, not on a beach, but you could go sit on a log by a lake and close your eyes.
Oh, yeah,
Diane
I can do
doesn't
that.
Like the sand.
Oh, I can't stand beaches, no.
Erin is our massage therapist here, and she talks about working meditations, which is when you're cooking or when you're doing something that you enjoy that involves movement, but you're just focusing, like, okay, I'm kneading this dough.
Yeah.
I'm doing, this is what I'm doing in this moment.
Kneading dough.
That's, I like to bake, so that is the first thing that came to my head. But that's a, you know, a good example of a working meditation if you're someone who really cannot sit still. Because I know a lot of people that can't do that. It's hard for me sometimes. So when I'm baking, I take the time and I focus on it, and it really does center you and it calms you down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another way to do it.
That's the perfect word. It's centering. You know, because a lot of times we're all over the place, and, you know, once we get set off in one wrong direction during the day, the minute we're around, you know, somebody who's, you know, more negative, and you pick this stuff up anywhere, I'm not talking about just in your home, but you go to the food store, you know, some of us are really sensitive, so we know who to stay away from, because, like, you could be walking down the aisle and be like, ooh, that does not feel good. You go the other way. But you pick them up anywhere. A lot of times, doctor's offices, medical places, they're really strong for that, because so many people have... You know, they're sick, they have illnesses, they're already weak.
They saw their bill.
Yeah.
On the inverse of that, going on a complete craptastic day and standing next to someone who's got their HIT together is amazing. It's just bringing you right back.
Oh, yeah.
Normalcy
that's
right
the
back.
Positive energy, which is what you want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You can give people that positive energy, too. If you see someone that looks upset, and
send
I did this a lot when I was working in a grocery store, and someone would come into my line and be so upset, I would just smile at them and, you know, just tell them to have a good day. And it's little things like that that puts a smile on someone else's face and it spreads. And, you know, it's kind of like pay it forward. And then maybe they'll transfer that positive energy to the next person they see that's upset.
Well, golly, isn't that great?
It is.
No, it is. It is. I've done that. The idea, though, is that, you know, I've meditated at home, and you sit there, at least I sit there, and I try to just focus on just being there and emptying my mind, and sometimes I find that music or some sort of gray sounds helps, and sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes if I'm out on my deck and I'm sitting there, you know, you're outside. I don't have a lot around me. I'm pretty wide open where my yard is. But you can hear birds or sounds off in the distance. And it's almost like having a tape on or something because it's just that background sound.
You know? There's a thing in my work, it's called Bridge Resource Management, and they talk about necessary distractions where you if you just stay there completely focused on something, sometimes you're going to lose sight of the bigger picture. So those extra sounds, like you said, that's the necessary. Some people, like you can zone right in that, needing that dip. You can zone right in on that, be perfect. But other people, like us, that might have OCD or something, their extraction on there, just to let us know, okay, there's other stuff around there. Here I am focused in, but the world's still here.
Go out there and come back. Yeah.
Gotta make sure you come back. You need that.
Yeah.
And for people who know about psychic attacks, which not everybody knows, those are sent intentionally by people. Like, when people are intentionally sending negative energy towards somebody, you know, and protecting yourselves from that kind of stuff is usually can feel when somebody is that dark, you know. But the biggest thing I tell people to do is the white light protection prayer all the time. And we use that in our classes. Mm-hmm.
And a smile. And a kind word.
Yeah, well, it's just your consciously protecting your energy field from anything that is negative from coming in and only bringing in the positive, you know, or that which is of the truth. So, you know, using a prayer like that works good, but when you have people kind of sending stuff to you, it's a lot of times people will feel that, especially sensitive. A lot of sensitives have that happen. So, you know, it's when somebody's literally sending negative energy at you.
Okay, that's good, because can you have just a bad day, or is it actually bad energy in your aura, or somebody
no,
said
I mean,
bad
you can
energy?
Have a bad day, it's just you can make
yeah.
your bad day work.
Yeah, you can make it worse.
No.
I think it makes you a magnet for whatever might be around
it's
that.
I would think that first
wants
thing...
Wants to take up residence.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. that first thing is the catalyst. So if you let that affect
yeah.
you, you let that get you down, you let that drive you nuts, put you in a bad spot,
mm-hmm.
then anything else, no matter how small it is, it's massive.
Yep. And then it's just like a snowball.
Yeah.
That's why you're supposed to close your eyes, you picture this big ball of white light filling you up, which is exactly what we do in energy work,
mm-hmm.
and you actually has like boundaries around it, and you're like this big white light of protection, and you say energy is not going to cross that boundary, you know, and for some people, they'll do the white light protection prayer when they're doing that, especially if they're feeling like they're fighting a lot, or they're being affected by it. And some of us are conscious of it when we know we're around negative energy. But I'll tell you, Mercedes is right. When you constantly have that, you constantly are in that place where you're visualizing that, or you're protecting yourself, you don't pick up things. You don't, you know, it won't be every little thing that happens. It might upset you, but then you'll be able to, you know, be able to have some type of perspective on it where it doesn't eat you alive and you're a big mess from it. Of course it's going to bother you. We're human. But you'll file it into a certain place so that you're able to talk about it, and it's not going to be something that rips you apart and totally consumes you. And that's how you know when you're getting into a more of a spiritual awakening. You know, it's more where you've kind of come to, you know, terms of, wow, well, this is, it's not going to change. But this stuff you can, you know,
yeah.
keeping your aura cleansed or in a good place, keeping yourself in a good place so that you don't get that affected by the negative energy. And I tell you, this is one of the biggest subjects for people. Like, they live in hell at work or hell at home or somewhere, or like we were talking about, they actually have spirits that are doing it to them, or they, you know, they're torturing their families. And we hear this stuff all the time, especially with what we do.
Well, you called me at work. You called how I am at work that one time in the meeting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were in a bad place.
Every day. Yeah.
Is it easier for somebody to fend off, you know, cleanse themselves, whatever, if they're spiritually active or if they're not spiritually active? Does one hinder
yeah,
the other? Or?
I definitely feel it's better when you're spiritually active. But that doesn't mean that if you don't believe in God or something like that you can't protect yourself with what you do believe in or have some conscious form of protection. And that's why we say whether you should know about it, whether you have, whether your religious beliefs or not. Because just because you don't believe in God doesn't mean you don't believe there's something that could protect you. If you've had a family member that's passed away, you could feel they protect you, you know?
Okay.
So you have to look at it that way. There's always some type of strength you can get.
I think a lot
somewhere.
Of it, too, is knowing that you have the power and you have the control.
Yep. Well, because we allow it.
Yeah, if you can allow things to happen to you. You can allow how you feel about them. But you always have the power of saying, I'm not dealing with this.
That's why you want to counteract it.
Yeah.
That's
of course,
nice.
Even...
No.
But it's... I think the change has to happen to your mindset first. Either believe
yep.
in something that can help you or believe in yourself that can help you,
mm-hmm.
but you're just going to have to make up your mind that I'm not dealing with this anymore and this
yeah.
is, you know, I'm not happy, this is the way I want to be.
Well, it's no different than somebody who's sick and gets an antibiotic. They believe this little pill is going to help them. And when they've done those tests, they feel that
yes.
little pill with the sugar and that person still got better.
Yeah.
You know, there's no difference if somebody says, oh, if I wear this medallion, it's going to save
mm-hmm.
my life. Or if I wear this for my mom,
yeah.
it's going to make me everything better. That's fine, because that's where they're putting their energy, but it's something positive.
You're talking about the intangible stuff, the tangible things, like a good luck charm.
Yep.
Same. I have my lucky rabbit's foot, nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The pilots in World War II, they love these
things. How many people wear, like,
yeah,
didn't help the rabbit
in. So many three-legged rabbits.
Well, protection
around.
Items, you know, we teach that, too. You know,
rabbits are great.
Your stone, your egg?
Yeah. Oh, that egg, yeah. Ooh. You showed me the egg, and I looked at it, and I'm looking, oh, it's a Cadbury Easter egg. I flip it over to the dark side, and all of a sudden, like, I just got serious feeling. Scary.
They're talking about Charlie has a gemstone egg.
All right, let's just keep it to tonight. Let's just talk about
so
tonight.
So it's a strong protection item for him.
Yeah, protection.
What are some of the tangible things we could do? Like, you gave me a little vial of salt. And now, whenever I'm
holy water.
I drank that. I mixed it.
No.
I mixed
it.
And I was in you. And you're safe.
Yeah, but I sit down and put the vodka in.
There you go.
holy vodka.
Yeah, so that mix it with the spirit.
Quick infusion.
In and out. I keep that little box, that little vial of sea salt on my desk at all times. And when I'm doing the EVPs, that thing is in my hand as I'm doing it. Because, hey. Salt,
well, for
purity
people
comes.
Who think they have spirits,
mm-hmm.
for people who, one of the things we've learned in this paranormal field is if people have negative energies attached to them or around them, if you put a salt line across the entrances to your home or wherever, that those energies can't cross over with the people. So a lot of times, it sounds funny, but when we do investigations, many of us put the salt line across the doorway or the opening or wherever.
Oh, man, I put it around my car.
I know. People do it around the perimeter of their home to protect their home, not even for ghost investigations, but for energies in general. You know, so...
I'm attempting what Jackie is saying. I know we've talked about it on the show before. I am going to reiterate because it's real. I had a Halloween party, and I knew that someone brought something into my apartment because I felt it, and not only did I feel it, I saw it. And I went to Jackie the next week, and I was like, Jackie, there's something in my apartment. What do I do? And she was like, well, you can burn sage to cleanse your apartment. That's a big one. Sage is really good.
Absolutely.
And then for my birthday, I had people over, which was only a couple weeks ago, and I had a bunch of people in my apartment fall in front of my doorway first. Wouldn't you know it, nothing was left, not one thing. So it really does work.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, sage is great for people, too. Like, my kids are in a bad mood, and they're yelling at me, get out of my room! I'm in there with the saging, and then they're picking on the snow, but you know what? Not a half hour later, 20 minutes later, they're a different person. So if you're a wife, or husband, or anybody's in a really bad mood, I don't care if they're yelling at you because you're going around. See, when I feel like I'm getting grumpy, I say to myself every morning, anyway, when I come in the store, but when I feel like something's starting to affect me, it cleanses you.
Since I was gone for April Fool's, I secretly switched your sage with tie sticks. That is why their mood changes. You have to eat a lot of a half an hour after you touch it.
Yeah, sage is great. That's probably the biggest thing that people come in for in the store.
What about crystals? The different types of minerals, they have different types of effects.
Different types of properties to them, how they affect you. So people who are more depressed or anxious, there's specific crystals for that.
Mm-hmm.
People who have addiction, amethyst is great for that.
Okay.
Quartz crystal, very strong, one of the most, it's the strongest healing stone, and with it, with something else, it amplifies it, the energy in that. So definitely, if you're someone who's interested in crystals and their uses, you could absolutely research that. And there's lots of books on them.
Mm-hmm.
The Crystal Bible, and I have the Book of Gemstones. There's a few of those. But we use them when we do our stuff. A lot of us have specific things we like to wear all the time. I always wear quartz, and I like Larimar. And
I always wear purple somewhere.
You always have amethyst.
Yeah. But I
agree.
I always
purple
have
to me feels good.
Lucky you rock your underpants. It worked for Calvin and Hobbes.
Okay.
I like lapis.
Because
it's
good
for everything.
Yeah.
I like whatever you got last night, whatever that is.
Talking about his egg.
Good stone.
when I go into places, I've never been able to really pick up on negative energy, but I do feel negative people.
Mm-hmm.
I know who to stay away from.
That is what that is. So you're picking up on the energy on them.
Well, yeah, it's just that by itself I really...
Yeah.
But maybe it's because I'm not open to that.
But when you're around them, do you get... Does it affect you?
Well, it doesn't affect me so much as I can recognize it, and I'm like, Stay away from me. Even when I was a kid, I always stayed away. And it wasn't because they were negative so much, but I always felt that I've always tried to keep my life easy. And dealing with people like that is so much work.
Well, even when you said it, you worked that, you know, there was somebody there that was like that, and you realized it was affecting your your energy then.
That's when I started doing the energy healing, because it required a little bit more effort than I could muster on my own.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so I needed the because I was dealing with it every day and trying and away from me was emotionally taxing. Because there was, you always had that human inclination to respond in kind.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody says something nasty to you, you know, you're immediately thinking of all the horrible things you can do in return, and that's just as damaging.
Oh,
so
here's another thing. Don't think that if you're sending that negative stuff to people that it's not going to come back to bite you.
Yeah.
Whether it's 30 seconds later or 30 years later, it will get you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So be nice.
Oh, I know. I could feel it. I just like, and you can feel that inclination coming on, and then I would just have to kind of like let it go. But doing that all day long, I mean, it just
well, it becomes exhausting.
Right? Yeah,
and that's usually when
very
people
hard.
Get, you know, to where they are.
I would line the crystals on the edge of my desk. You know, sort of like
I know, and it becomes
a wall.
It does. It becomes like a job in your job.
Yeah.
But, like, even when we're in people's houses and they're being affected by negative energy, they just want us to take it out. Like, they're exhausted from it, and we do. So we can go in and remove something from, like, something like that, but sometimes it's hard for us to do it for ourselves. And sometimes you do need help. Sometimes we do it in numbers, you know, and sometimes you need, when we're saying reach out for something you believe in or something you... A tangible item that can help you, that's what you're doing. You know, you're seeking some type of help, but putting yourself in a good atmosphere helps with it. That's why I always tell people try to make their little personal space. Or even to wear something.
I would have this mantra going on in my head, you know, like, I'm not going to be like them, I'm not going to be like them, I'm not going to be like them. but it would take so much work, and I'd be just exhausted. So if it wasn't for the energy healing that I started doing, which, you know, it was like a boost to my protective, you know, powers, if you want to call it that. But it, you know, and people laugh at me because they think, like, are you doing what? And I said, you got to try it. It works. And, but they do notice that when I don't have my energy
done,
when
it's
I come into work, how grumpy I am.
You realize it.
You seem grumpy.
When you came out today, you were very excited and happy.
Yeah, I'm always excited and happy.
Have any of you ever had to deal with anything like a really dark, like where you were in a place where you felt like there was a really dark, you know, like dark energies or dark negativity?
You mean like at home?
Anywhere.
Not
at
the military?
I'm not my house, no. Of course not. Well,
hey, we all have it.
We've all been there, right?
Yeah.
I told you that last week I did that interview over the phone for about an hour and a half with a woman in the area. She's got some problem spirits in her house. And for about an hour and 20 minutes, I was asking her questions, writing it down, holding my phone to my ear and writing with the other hand. And I told you that across the table from me, around this table that my son-in-law has, they're very tall chairs, high-back chairs. And as I'm sitting there writing answers to some of the questions she's given me, I'm from behind the chair across the table from me, I thought I saw a black shadow come out and then go back. So I immediately, you know, just wanted to crane to my neck a little bit. Now, of course, there was nothing there. Started writing again. All of a sudden, this thing came out and went back. So now I look under the chair to see if anything black is, you know, is standing there. And... you know, I didn't think anything of it. I said, well, this is my house, you know. I'm not going to let whatever's bothering. I just figured automatically that whatever she's talking about was coming through the phone to me to see who I am asking about it. And then when I went to bed, I told you I had all kinds of light, very bright green streaks of light going through my eyes. I can still see it vividly, the picture that was in my mind. And, you know, you talk about protection. Well, I think 90% of it is just being conscious of the fact that you can protect yourself.
Yes.
Once you realize you can protect yourself and your thoughts, you know, I told you I lived on and on because I wanted to get real vivid ideas to what I was seeing. And when I got tired of it, because it wasn't anything I'd ever seen before when I went to bed, I said a prayer, blessing me and blessing each one of the people in my house, my friends and whoever. And at the end of the prayer, when I said amen, lights went out. Literally, in my eyes, the lights went out. And I sat there and I was like, yeah, this is good. This is good stuff. And you know what? I thoroughly believe it's the power that you have in your mind, like I said. You know, you can do it yourself, and just realizing you can do it. A lot of people get afraid because they don't know what to do. Well, we know what to do. You taught us what
to do. Yeah, and when it's spirit, sometimes they're so scared and they don't understand it. And it is. Some of them are really negative.
Absolutely.
And they can physically move things. They physically move people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they can scratch you.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that stuff. So when you hear somebody talking about it, that you can't even get your... The problem is your mind's so, like, the fear takes over. And the biggest thing for collecting and allowing dark energies get to you... And
oh,
dark
fear, they'll latch
fear
on you.
Fear. Any type of fear, you are an open... You are just... You might as well just stand there wild and they're just right on you. Fear is, like, that's why you can't be... If you're afraid, you don't belong home. You definitely don't belong on the earth. If you start to become so afraid of things like that affecting you, it is. You know, and that's the law of attraction, which is many episodes here. You know, either way, whether you're trying to become negative, if on the good, you don't want to focus on the bad. So if you're focusing on negative, you're going to bring in negative. If you're focusing on positive, you're going to feel guarded. You're going to feel...
I don't think people realize that they have an instant connection to the universal positive energy that most people call God, but you can access that anytime.
I like Jen's word. For a blanket statement, she'll say, to all that is. And that pretty much covers whatever it is you... feel is your motivation, protection, inspiration.
I am not a Christian, but I work with people who are. And one of the women that I work with said to me that she couldn't do ghost hunting because she'd be too afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I said, why are you afraid? I said, don't you have something in your religious book that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Right.
I said, why don't you believe that? I said, I'm not a Christian, and I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what guides me when I go into places, you know? And I feel that protection and that positive energy surrounding me and protecting me. And so I'm not afraid.
Charlie has a whole army.
I do. You know, when I first came here that one time, and the first time I met you, and the other one was here, and she says there, she looks at me, she kept looking off to the side, and she told me that I had basically had Sacagawea standing next to me. And, well, she said it was an older woman, and nobody in my family was that old or that dark or that short or, you know, all Hungarians I know, the women are big and, you know, oversized. Let's put it that way. Let's just
the word
say
is Zostic.
What?
Yeah, Zostic. That's the word. Zostic. Yo, Achtun. But anyway.
It's thick.
Very thick. Very thick. But the idea here was, she said there was a little woman that was very skinny, very short, and I thought it was my wife's grandmother who used to take great pains in trying to kick me in the back of the leg. Well, that wasn't her because this woman was very dark, and she said she was almost looked like an Indian. I call her Sacagawea, but the idea here is I don't know any woman like that, but I can tell you one thing. When I go somewhere, it doesn't make any difference where I'm at. I feel like I have 20 people standing behind me. And when we were in the house over there in Branchville.
Oh, yeah.
And we were upstairs. And you got knocked off the chair. Ron gets knocked down. And you said, thanks you so much. Well, you've done something to me and you've done something to Ron. Do something to Charlie. I'm like,
yeah.
So here we are. We're up in the attic. I'm standing there. And all of a sudden I say to Jackie, I said, you know, there's nothing between me and Jackie. And all of a sudden my camera goes way out of focus. Like something just came between us. And then it went back into focus, and it was almost like they did. She said, they don't want to go near you because you're too strong. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. yes, stay with me here, you know?
Well, that's the thing when you invite them, and that's another thing people do that we didn't talk about. When you invite them in, if you're somebody working with this type of stuff, you need to protect yourself and only ask for the good. If you're working with it and you're inviting them in, they're going to come in. Now, obviously, when we do some ghost hunting, we are letting our guard down and we are inviting them in. You know, we're still protecting ourselves to a point, but, I mean, there are times where I put myself in a compromising position because I actually do, like, literally open myself up to let them in, you know. But I can also, I'm also very respectful. I know when it's an energy, it might be negative, but I know when it's an energy not to do that with.
Okay, now, wait a second. You said we invited them in. That's a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we have a seance coming this Friday night?
Yeah, but you have to remember what you're inviting in. You don't want to invite in negativity.
Well, some...
Inviting
some,
in...
Some relatives might be
grumpy,
really negative.
Or but they're not going to, you know...
You sure?
Well...
What's looking for?
Well, how about if you burn sage and you use a Ouija board?
No, that's a portal.
No.
That's a negative portal.
Well, how about
we
a mirror?
And
you just,
Ouija.
You know, invite people
in
from
fact,
the mirror.
In fact, that investigation had that, too. Like, every investigation we've done that had a Ouija board involved was horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Horrendous stuff going on with these people.
Will Jane actually channel anybody?
We'll find out.
Ooh.
I'm more interested to see what the spirit's doing here, because even she said that there's so much activity in here, she can't wait to see.
I want to see what Jane does. Forget the spirits. I want to see what she does, because that should be really interesting.
And she does a prayer. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, when we do anything like that, we always do a prayer. So we're only inviting, you know, what's good. And obviously, when we're doing an investigation, we have to do, we're dealing with it if it's there. So we're working as a group effort to remove it or get. And that's the thing. We might put ourselves in a little bit of a compromising position, and we open ourselves up. But that's how we can. That's how you have the proof that they're there. But then we're quick to. We kind of band together when if somebody does get affected by it, right away we all, you know, work together with protecting ourselves or whatever once it happens. But once you get thrown off the chair once, it doesn't happen again, because then you're like, all right, at least that happened. Now let's okay, you're done.
Set it for Charlie.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Charlie.
Yeah. So, I'm like the, you know, when you have the two magnets. And they're
push
opposite.
Away.
They push away because they're the same. That's what happens with me and some of the spirits.
Then there's me. It's like, bring it.
I have had the question at work that for the ghost hunts and the different things that we do with the seances and everything, that how do we know negative energy isn't pretending to be good?
Good question.
As a way to get in.
They do.
Well, I know they do.
They do, but... There's usually signs with that, and like you'll start to feel, because your people like that, they usually end up going, actually becoming, which is one of the things we actually talked about in the spiritual protection class, would actually go into that person, and we had an investigation like that, and it starts to take control of that person and dictate that person, and all these bad things happen. But so a lot of times it'll start out like it's good, and then it weakens you enough to make you vulnerable enough to do that. But usually you notice there are differences in that person. So they might start out subtle, but then you'll notice more and more and more, okay, this isn't their normal way. And that person, being able to help that person is to get rid of that is usually where you're at by that point. Because even like we talked about, this actually last week with the exorcisms and things like that, where some people just don't believe in that stuff. And they don't believe that it can happen. When you do the work like we do, we see it happen like, full hand, like we're right in the middle of it, and when we're dealing with, you know, other family members or people, owners and things like that are dealing with it, we know what they're going through. I mean, they're literally tortured by it. So we've seen it happen. We know that, but to kind of, for people who are a little bit more, you know, they don't understand that.
I find it difficult to believe that even if the thing is pretending to be good initially, that they can keep up the pretense.
Well, they don't.
That
once
long.
Gets in, once
and I think
done,
maybe you can still feel the undercurrent of what it really is. I think it feels heavier.
If you're aware, though, if you're somebody who doesn't...
Oh, if you're not aware, no, you're dead meat. Yeah, you're not, you know.
That's one way to put it.
Well, yeah, but I know.
That,
yeah.
Exactly. And
oh, well, you
see, go first.
That's where not liking children comes in handy. I don't trust any of them.
Oh, man, I'm screwed.
Yep.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, you know, the child, oh, it's my imaginary friend says this, he says that. Imaginary friend says, put you in the pot.
Mm-hmm. Imaginary friend says, get that
knife.
Matchbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the knife
and
go home with my daddy.
What was the
yeah,
the
no, it's true.
That's it. The Amity
yeah.
It was the little girl who was in front of Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And it just escalated from that. And a lot of times, we get the children talking about, you know, lots of them to show where you get your kid thing, but a lot of times the kids will start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Why
well, especially
you
if they're young,
yeah.
You know, unless the parent picks it up.
Yeah.
You know, and is questioning them, what are you talking to? And,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing with that, too. I think it's great when, like, nowadays the children are encouraged more than, obviously, when I
yeah.
was small. And the parents kind of try to help them and nurture them with it, and it's great. But making sure you know what's going on
mm-hmm.
and asking what does the person look like they're talking to or what are they telling them, it's important to keep that communication open, you know. And,
picture.
Yeah.
Well, I
yeah.
think it's a very fortunate child who has a parent that will listen and take it seriously. I think that most parents would just, you know, oh, don't be silly, oh,
yeah.
you're making that up, oh, it's your imagination. A lot of people put children down as having vivid imaginations.
Well, just having imaginary friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And some of them tell them not to, and I hate when I hear that because, like, they close it off. Mainly
yep.
because the parent doesn't know how to deal with it. And
doesn't want
to
deal with it.
But they're, a lot of times they're
yeah,
trying to protect
to.
Them from,
yeah.
they think everything's negative, because when you're ignorant about that stuff and you're scared of it,
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, when you don't know about it, you're not knowledgeable about it, you are. It's going to, the fear will be there. You're
mm-hmm.
going to be afraid of it. It could be one of your, it could be your mother trying to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you're so afraid of what it is.
Or you're so
you,
suspicious
yeah.
of what it might
yeah.
be.
Or even
that it can't
skeptical.
Be my mom. It's really, you know, a demon, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So part of the metaphysical OJ is also other ways of getting in to you. So if you have kids, make sure your kids are protected, because
mm-hmm.
that's the way you can
absolutely.
Get
I send every night when I go to bed,
and
I send Archangel Michael yeah. to everyone in my family. And I do the same thing that I do with my healing at the end of the healing. I ask him to wrap his wings around them, guide them, and give them strength every single night. And then I put a bubble. Because I had read that years ago, you know, put your protection bubble around in your family,
mm-hmm.
and I just interconnect it, and you put it around your house, and you could put it around your car when you're driving in it. I'm all, you know, and I do that with everything. And when my friends are in, you know, or in a bad place or whatever, I send them it too. Energy has no distance, so I send it, you know, the same way. So,
You said 5 minute work?
You gotta do family.
Yeah.
Family.
Pam here.
You
want to
pull her out here?
Let her
do a commercial.
Yeah, so we're going to play some information from our friend Pam with essential oils, and we'll be back to you in just about a minute or so or something like that. So, so stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Pam from Tell Them Pam Sent You, here to talk to you about Young Living Essential Oils. Are you using essential oils in your spiritual and healing practice? Are you using them for wellness and meditation? I know I am. Essential oils raise your vibration and can enhance your psychic experience. There's an undeniable movement going on right now, an awakening. And people are finding out what essential oils are and what they can do when they're used in their purest form. Their healing properties are undeniable. Young Living essential oils are among the top 4% in the world. Never cut with synthetics or additives. They're planted, harvested, distilled, and bottled by the same company. That's the Young Living seed-to-seal process. Current labeling policy for essential oils requires that for a bottle to say 100% pure, get ready for this, it only has to contain 5% essential oil. Can you ingest your lavender or frankincense? Take a look at your bottles. If they say do not ingest, not for human consumption, do not ingest. And don't put it on your skin. Use Young Living therapeutic grade essential oils. They truly are 100% pure, free of chemicals, pesticides, and heavy metals. You deserve the best. Your clients deserve purity, not oils cut with fragrance. What's in your wellness kit? Can you apply your peppermint and your lavender now freely, knowing the difference? Please contact me for more information. Pam Jordan at VibrantSense.com. That's www.PamJordan.VibrantSense.com. And look me up on Facebook. Look for Tell Them Pam Sent You.
And we're back. So essentially now, to keep the negative spirits away, we've got a whole plethora of things you can do. You can sage. You can use crystals. You can get energy healing
and meditation,
other spiritual guidance.
Get rid of the fear.
And get rid of the fear.
Chuck Norris.
I know that's easier said than done, but fear will stop you in your tracks from doing anything. So.
Really.
And remind yourself that the negativity won't last forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually we all die.
That's true. So if, and I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that Trinity Metaphysical Center is also the home of the Crypt Ghost Hunters. So if you have negative energy in your home and need us to do an investigation, you can contact us or a cleansing. Contact us at the Trinity Metaphysical Center, either on our website or at 973-209-7070. And all investigations are no charge. So what are we going to be discussing next week, Jackie?
So next week we're going to talk about connecting with spirit or how to speak with crossed loved ones, spirits in your home, you know, a little bit with that. We actually have a lot of people here who have been able to now speak to their loved ones. Right, Charlie?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to be talking about that.
So we're
going to
talk about how you can do that, you know, how you can actually
be your own Long Island medium.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people who are actually, you know, they feel like they're with them, and they're just trying to figure out how can I get their messages, and how can I communicate with them, and how can I see them. And so many people come in with that question. So we're going to talk about how to do that.
How
to get your messages.
What about Friday?
And this Friday, we actually have a seance at the store with James Doherty, who is a world-renowned psychic medium and paranormal investigator as well. And so we'll have lots to talk about next episode, too, so that'll work great, because we're going to be communicating with spirit Friday, and that'll be great for the next episode, since that's what we're going to be talking about. We can talk about what happened here and who we actually, you know, got to speak to and all that good stuff.
We get a videotape?
So I don't know if we're allowed to do that. There's other people in there. If it was just us, we could.
I bet you we could just record it.
Record it,
you know.
We'll give them hoods over their faces because we can't afford the pixelation.
Yeah, the white ones with the big cones on top, right? Yeah,
we can do our individual ones.
We are in Sussex County, yeah. Is that a horse I saw you bring in the back of your truck tonight?
No, it's a haunted chair.
A haunted chair.
And a Slim Jim.
Hey, that Slim Jim worked. That came home with me.
You're never going to let me live that one down, right?
Yeah, thanks.
Although nobody said that's not our chair.
They should have been on there, too. A lot of objects come in with energy.
Oh, right.
Make sure you sage your object, bless it, throw salt on it, holy water it, whatever you need to do.
Say a prayer.
But lots of energies, negative energies come into objects, and sometimes that's what's affecting a home.
Especially things like jewelry, things that were important to people.
So you want to, you know, definitely do that. And if you're not sure how to do that, you can always bring it to the metaphysical center. They should help you free of charge. Don't let anybody charge you to cleanse stuff like that. You know, I just say we do it for free.
For charging to do for the wrong intention.
Exactly.
Shoot,
I mean, doing energy work on somebody is different. But cleansing an object for them, you know, which takes 5 minutes, is not, you know, you should, you know, do that just with the intent that you want to help.
Doing good.
Just like we do our investigations. So,
doing good.
We added that on the end.
Okay, so I hope everybody will tune in next week as we continue our discussion with spirits and connecting with the other side.
Yeah.
So for now, it's good night from Diane.
And Jackie.
Mark.
Mercedes.
And Charlie.
Good night, everyone.